Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, I woke up Monday morning. The air was fresher. My clothes fit better. My food tasted better. I don't know why.
I'm not sure your clothes fit better.
Here's my headline. Patriots exceed all expectations except their own.
That's probably accurate. And if you listen to Bill Belichick and Jimmy Garoppolo, they weren't really worried that the spread grew from whatever it was, 6 to almost 10 points, and that this was one of the few times since 2001 that they were more than a touchdown underdog. All they knew, and all Jimmy Garoppolo knew, is somebody put a game plan in front of them. They said, learn this, get ready for that defense, be ready to throw to these receivers. So I think that's the reality when you're in the building. You know, we make fun of them for ignoring the noise, but there's no talk radio playing in the meeting rooms downstairs, right? They can close themselves off.
Yeah, and a terrific win. And I have to admit, it was one that I didn't expect. And for all the things, you said maybe they didn't fool themselves or they didn't surprise themselves, but just look at all the different things that were going against them. And there's a reason why that spread got to where Andy talked about. You know, they're missing 60% of the starting offensive line that you wanted to have heading into the season. Dante Scarnecchia talked about wanting to have five guys and settle on roles. Well, he had no Vollmer, won't have Vollmer for a while, no Solder, no Jonathan Cooper. And you have a...
No problem.
You have a backup quarterback, no Rob Gronkowski, so you're missing your two very best players in Brady and right. Gronkowski. You go on the road and play against a very good team in their house... on Sunday Night Football, and you put together that kind of a performance, yeah. It's just really an incredible
And
game.
I know do your job is a cliche around here, but for the last 3 years, we now know that Jimmy Garoppolo has been doing his job, which is to work on his own game, learn this playbook, and be ready. And on all three fronts, he passed with flying colors, at least for this week.
Well, that's what I was going to say, at least for 1 week. I don't want to make many of this jump.
Sure.
But for 1 week in probably just about the toughest place you could go. Maybe if you had gone to Seattle, that's a different home field advantage. But there's very few places that would be tougher than going on the road to the NFC finalist Cardinals that are good on both sides of the ball. They have a defense.
Right.
Maybe the defense didn't play up to their hopes. Maybe their GM thinks they're embarrassed with how they played. But the challenge that he faced throughout the summer, because that's the other thing. You were thinking about, he knew this was coming. Brady was suspended for a while, right?
Right.
And he knew the first game was on the road at Arizona. That could have been too much for some guys, right? They could have psyched themselves out. But what did he do? He went out there and he impressed. And as one of his former teammates joked on Twitter, Terrence Knighton tweeted, Jimmy G just made himself about $100 million somewhere.
That's the part that stuck out to me. It's not necessarily that they played a good game and that the Patriots sort of circled the wagons and put forth a good effort. Not overly surprising that they did that. But the way they went about it, I would have thought if they were going to pull off this upset, it was going to be because they were going to get an awful lot of help from Arizona. It was the opposite. The Patriots kept Arizona in the game with turnovers. And the offense, I thought, dictated the way the game was played at times, long stretches, early in both halves. You know, talk about coaching. You come out, touchdown drive to open the first half, touchdown drive to open the second half. That, to me, spoke volumes about the preparation that this team had. We shouldn't be surprised by that because we've seen that so many times, but in this situation with Garoppolo, like Andy said, you know, we'll see what he does going forward. But for week one, anyway, he was ready.
And because of that preparation and because of how ready Garoppolo was, it allowed Josh McDaniels to have one of his best games, I think, in terms of just dialing it up, trying to keep Arizona on their heels, different formations, different packages out there. And Garoppolo's knowledge of the playbook allowed him to do that.
And it wasn't great, but it was balanced.
Yeah.
They made sure they didn't have to just throw all the time. They got a couple first downs here. They had a nice touchdown run from LeGarrette Blount. He did just enough so that you were balanced. And then in the passing game, I thought they ran the Patriots offense. I thought they had quick throws.
I do too.
You know, Patriots offense without Gronk, so that's a little bit different, but quick throws, accurate throws, nice rhythm, some quick drops because they've known for a year or two now the offensive line isn't great. Don't hold on to the ball. We're not looking to get it down the field. Get rid of the ball, and I thought Jimmy Garoppolo did that.
And that's my takeaway. You know, what Andy's talking about is all the things they did coaching. You know, the headline to me is add another statement victory to Bill Belichick's resume, and this is as good as any. Andy likes to talk and say, well, remember back, you know, in 2004 when they went to St. Louis and no one thought they could win? Well, now you have a new one, and this
cross
one, to
that
me,
one out. I got
this
a new one.
This one is far more impressive. This one goes in one of the top paragraphs of Bill Belichick's coaching resume. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, took a backup quarterback on the road in, on the season opener, you know, while his legendary quarterback is serving a suspension. Distraction, forget the distraction. Then you take away the best offensive weapon that he had available in Gronk, and this is the performance
and
that
you
get.
And his left tackle. Don't forget his left tackle.
I mean, it's just unbelievable stuff. So this is just another statement win in a career full of them.
And from a Belichick perspective, there were a lot of criticisms of how he handled the preseason and reps and Brady and Garoppolo. And are we getting Garoppolo ready or are we getting Brady ready? Is Garoppolo ready? Should he have played more in the third preseason week?
Tremendous.
Well, for at least 1 week, the way he managed it led to a almost perfect performance from Jimmy Garoppolo in the opener.
You know what happens, though? You know, you start picking up this, you start looking at what they're talking about. Now it's no one thought they could win last week. Now no one thinks they can lose. It's 4-0.
Right, right.
You know, we've completely flipped, you know, turned the page, and all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we manage expectations now, because Andy made a good point when we were talking earlier in the week about Jimmy Garoppolo. No one thought he could win going to Arizona. Now he's going to have to prove that he's going to be able to win when everybody thinks he's going to.
Right. And now good enough isn't good enough. Now they expect you, well, you should go beat Ryan Tannehill. You should win those matchups.
All right, next test for Jimmy is Miami, who, you know, last week went into Seattle and beat the crap out of that offense.
They really did, and they probably should have won the football game. They left a lot of points on the field. It's going to be interesting, as I said. You know, how does the team and how does Garoppolo specifically manage, you know, being expected to win? But I do think that there's some challenges that the Dolphins provide up front, and it's going to be interesting, the health for the Patriots. You know, do they get some guys back? Does Nate Solder get back? Does Jonathan Cooper get back? That would make me feel a lot better. And then certainly Garoppolo wants to see Gronk back.
It's nice that Jimmy was really good with what he had to work with, but give him his full allotment of weapons and see what can happen.
And the Dolphins can get after you up front, and they are probably better in that front line than Arizona was. This is a pretty good front.
It's loaded.
We talked about the spot in Arizona, preparing for that all offseason. Well, now the spot is different. The spot is coming home against a Miami team that had to play Seattle, now is coming up to New England. Do you sort of exhale, and is there
any
letdown?
Any chance of a letdown?
Well, that's my question. Is there a chance of a letdown? And now my guess would be no letdown for Bill Belichick. He doesn't believe in letdowns. He will do his damnedest to ensure that doesn't happen. But, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo's probably feeling pretty good about himself this week, right? And he's thinking, oh, if I can do it last week, it'll be easier this week. So they're all human beings. How do they handle it?
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
From the heart this week, we're going to talk about two units trying to find themselves. The Miami Dolphins weren't great on opening day. They converted 20% of their third downs. They only completed 55% of their passes, barely averaged 3 yards per carry on the ground, and Ryan Tannehill was sacked 5 times. The Patriots, who I think can make more plays on defense, didn't make a ton of plays in the opener at Arizona. The opportunity is there this week against Adam Gase. What is he building in terms of an offense in Miami? There's a rookie guard starting. Laremy Tunsil is in there for the Dolphins. Patriots have playmakers. We saw the versatility up front throughout the preseason. Put that athleticism to use here at home in Foxborough. Make plays, set the tone, and if there is a letdown for Jimmy Garoppolo in the offense, pick up that slack.
I'm going to play off of what Andy talked about. I'm going to flip it around a little bit and focus on the Patriots' offensive line, and specifically the health of that group. I think it's very important to get some guys back this week. I thought they held on a little bit in Arizona, but I think the task is going to be a little bit more difficult. I think the Cardinals have a better defense than Miami, but the front for the Dolphins is better and definitely more dangerous than Arizona's. Ndamukong Suh, Mario Williams, Cameron Wake, these guys can get after the passer. Koa Misi, even, from the outside linebacker spot. These guys like to put some pressure on the passer. They're going to need to get Nate Solder back, nursing that hamstring problem. Be also great to get Jonathan Cooper in the lineup for the first time. See how this looks with some of the guys that Dante Scarnecchia wanted to have at the start of the season. So I think it's very important for that Patriots offensive line to give some time for Jimmy Garoppolo and see what this offense can do.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Back now for Trash Talk. We talked a little bit about the battle in the trenches. And, Paul, I want to focus on the Patriots' offensive line as they go through these injury issues and some young guys. I wonder, are they actually better suited to deal with that with Jimmy Garoppolo back there?
I think Garoppolo does help them. And I know, obviously, they'd be better off if Brady was there. But I do think the athleticism and the movement, the mobility that Garoppolo provides, I think is going to help these guys a little bit. And I talked about it in my point. I do think the Dolphins have a very difficult front to deal with, and I think this is going to be a huge test. And it's nice to have some guy that can move around and make some plays the way that Garoppolo did at the end of that game against Arizona.
I don't know if I'm willing to go all the way there. And I know sometimes Brady, when he gets beat up, like any veteran quarterback who's been hit a lot over the years, it gets in their head or they start to anticipate rush that isn't there. We've seen that from Brady over the years. But I still think, if you had your choice of Tom Brady lining up behind center or Jimmy Garoppolo, knowing everything we know, you take the total package that is Tom Brady. I will say, maybe the benefit is, when he hits the field in October, there are no sore shoulders, there are no sore ribs, nothing should be sore. He's working out in his backyard with his supermodel wife, and nobody's hitting him back there.
Yeah, and that's, well, you know, as far as we know. But
it looks like she could lay the lumber.
And that's part of the reason why I don't think it's a terrible thing. No, obviously, we all know Tom Brady is the man. He's the guy, and the offense would be better suited to have him play. But it's not the worst thing because of the fact that you're going to save him some hits as this offensive line comes together, because it's not a finished product. I talked about the injuries, and we don't even know what the personnel is going to be like. But it's also that mobility that I talked about with Garoppolo. And I thought against Arizona, he made something out of nothing a few times. And I'm not sure Tom would have been capable of doing that.
And then to spin the argument forward, is there another growth period? You know, because Garoppolo gets comfortable with the line gets comfortable with him, however it all works out for four games. Now, is there another learning phase would be my question. And do you not hit midseason form as a total overall offense as quickly as you would if Brady had gone through that process? That's another concern with that line for me.
Yeah, and the running game, too. It all factors in, and the offense is obviously, you know, to use all the Belichick cliches, it's all, you know, all works in concert. The receivers have to get open, the blockers have to block, and, you know, the pass protection. And I also don't want to dismiss Martellus Bennett, too. You know, you used him as an extra offensive lineman. You didn't have Gronkowski. And again, if you can get that health back to where you can get some more personnel out on the field, that's going to add to some of the weapons that Garoppolo has.
Call me old school or anti-talk radio.
You want James Devlin to play?
No, I'm finding it hard to come up with reasons or why I wouldn't want Tom Brady on the field. No. You know, I joked early to start the season. People said, well, you know, the good news is with him suspended, he doesn't count on the roster. You get an extra roster spot for the first 15.
Yeah. You got that going for us.
Well, how does that help you in it? That's one of the dumber arguments ever. And then you say, well, they're better suited because this guy's younger, he can take hits, or this guy can run a little bit. You're always better suited with Tom Brady on the football field. And I will believe that week one, week two, week three, into week five. We'll talk about it in the offseason if I go that far, how I feel after this.
Yeah,
but
so
I just don't understand all this jump to, let's move to the future. Garoppolo's the future, Brady's the past. Well, you know what he feels like? Pretty gosh darn good present.
So it doesn't sound like you're in the camp of, you know, Garoppolo has another couple of good performances.
No.
And we're ready to you know, get a couple of ones for Brady and move on. You don't want to do
three
that?
Ones, maybe, I might consider it.
Three ones for a 40-year-old quarterback. Okay.
Hey, if you give up a one and something else for Sam Bradford, three ones for Brady would work.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Last Sunday, Oakland Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio showed that even in this age of big data, Moneyball, and the revenge of the nerds on sports, there's still room for gut calls. Season opener, on the road, rallying from 14 points down, Del Rio opted to go for two and the win at the end of the game instead of the tie in overtime. It was a gutsy call, and despite what the number crunchers would advise, it was the right one. Del Rio is trying to turn around a franchise and on paper might be poised to do just that. Going for it in the biggest moment set a tone that will last for, well, at least a couple weeks. Plus, it was an out-of-conference game and on week one. The time was right to take that kind of chance. So hats off to Jack Del Rio for reminding us that we don't always need a slide ruler to measure the game of inches.
Player's Perspective.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We have Patriots center David Andrews with us this week. David, obviously a huge opening night victory for you guys. It had to be pretty satisfying to go down to Arizona and come away with a win.
Yeah, you know, that was good and, you know, a lot to learn from and, you know, just take that and move forward. And it's time to move forward to, you know, Miami and, you know, take our mistakes and learn from them and just keep moving forward and getting better.
Now, obviously, you guys had some moving parts on that offensive line. It looked like the communication was pretty good. The overall performance was pretty good. What are the challenges dealing with that kind of a hostile environment and making sure your communication is on par?
You know, it's dealing with communication every week is a big thing. You got to make sure everyone's on the same page. You know, so even though, you know, we're playing at home, that's still going to be a big thing this week is, you know, just making sure everyone's on the same page and, you know, especially us five.
Hey, you had mentioned briefly just, you know, sort of moving on from Arizona to Miami and the challenges this week. It's a pretty good front and a pretty physical front. And obviously, Sue gets all the headlines. But what kind of challenges do they present?
They've got a great team, great defense. They cause a lot of problems with their fronts. You know, they've got great pass rushers and they've got size too. You know, so there's definitely some challenges we got to work at, and it's different. And, you know, but that's the NFL. So, you know, each week's a new challenge, and this week's going to be a new challenge.
Yeah, I'm not sure if everybody knows, but you have a pretty famous uncle in Dan Reeves, who legendary coach, Denver, the Giants, Atlanta, been to Super Bowls and whatnot. What have you sort of gotten from him just in terms of experience and whatnot? How has he been to lean on?
Oh, you know, it's Yeah, it's not even when I was here, but growing up, going to, you know, training camps he was at and just watching him. And you know, I think it just kind of gave me an idea of what really, how football works. And, you know, he's always been a great role model of, you know, even as a coach, kind of this intense guy on the field. But he's been through a lot of what I've been through as a player and a coach, so he knows both sides of it. So,
is there anything in particular, like one, you know, moment maybe you had with him that you remember and really drew something from?
Yeah, you know, most of his coaching career, I was pretty young, but I gave him a card one day, a little player from my little league, and told him I'd come play for him one day. But, you know, we both laughed at it, and it's kind of funny how it worked out now, you know, being at this level. But, you know, there's not just one thing. There's just tons of things he's taught me, and just from observing him, too, in general, you know, just watching him from afar.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time for Ask PFW, otherwise known as the placeholder for the Wilson Hart Power Index, which will be coming out after week four?
Correct, okay. Because unlike the power rankings, which just flippantly move teams around, ours have some value.
Right, and you have to learn what teams are in the NFL by then.
Right.
Okay, good. All right, we'll start with Dave Mack, who says, let me preface this by saying I don't want to trade Jimmy G right now, but I do have an interesting scenario that could play out. Let's say week five in Cleveland, Brady comes back and the Patriots win 41-10-ish. What would Belichick do if Cleveland says, you're going to get our best offer right now for Garoppolo, 2 1s in a third, take it or leave it? What do you do?
I would leave Jimmy Garoppolo in Cleveland with the Browns and take the 2 first-round picks because Brady's back, right? I have Jacoby Brissett, who I drafted, I kind of like, and 2 first-round picks for Jimmy Garoppolo from the Cleveland Browns. You know, even though he's going to go there and make them better, those are still probably going to be pretty high picks. Love it.
Absolutely agree. And you can't pass that.
What's your floor?
My floor?
A first. I would do it for one first.
Oh, that's your
would
floor.
You do it right then for a first?
Yes.
I would do it in
especially,
the offseason for a first.
As you said, Andy makes a good point, too, about Cleveland. You know, it's probably going to be a top five pick.
Right.
Absolutely would do that.
Richard Giddings writes in, big fan from a family of big fans in the UK. I know this is a controversial thing to even say, but given how the team performed Sunday and the depth of the defense, is this the deepest team we've had on both sides of the ball since 2007? I can't think of an obvious weakness outside of injuries at the offensive line.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a really big deal to say it. I think it's obvious that this is the deepest team. I think Bill Belichick laid the foundation for that throughout the summer, telling us he had the deepest tight ends, deepest defense, every position, safety. And you just look at it, both sides of the ball, you know, where are the holes on this team?
Well, to be fair, he said most competitive.
No, he said deepest. He said the deepest positions at some of those positions.
But
and there's no holes. You look at this team and maybe running back. You know, some people think they could upgrade at running back and offensive line. But other than that, You have guys like Malcolm Mitchell and Chris Hogan who are your third, fourth receivers who we're intrigued by. Or backup linebackers, defensive linemen who you're intrigued by. Some depth in the secondary. I think it's obviously the deepest team since 07. And I would go further back probably to the 03-04 has the potential to be comparable to those.
Okay. Gary Abrams writes in, can you explain to me what happened right before the half in the Cardinals game? I don't get why, with a minute and a half plus left, Josh McDaniels called several running plays, and then why punted back to them with 20-something seconds on the clock, possibly chancing a return for a score. Couldn't they have just taken a knee on fourth down and closed out the half?
I know that we did get some talk about this, Andy and I, on the postgame show that night on Patriots.com, and there was about a minute 24 left. Patriots run their own 31-yard line. They try to run in the first play. I think that's a pretty common approach for New England at the start of those drives. Sometimes it pops. You get 10, 12 yards, and then here we go. Let's get into it. Well, LeGarrette Blount got stopped for 1 yard. So I think they played it cautious from there. They try to run it on the next play. They got called for a tripping penalty on David Andrews. Then they ran it again. They got called for holding on Shaq Mason. Suddenly, you're second and 26 on your own 15. I don't think anybody would have anticipated trying to do anything. And I felt with a 10-7 lead, I really thought New England outplayed Arizona in the first half. Make sure you get to the locker room with the lead, with the young quarterback. I think it made a lot of sense.
And you're getting the ball to start the second half.
And you get the ball to start the second half. And by the way, Arizona had timeouts, and they could have gotten the ball back regardless. And if you're throwing the ball and not making them use those timeouts, then you're opening the door for a potential late score by the Cardinals.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.